family that they are in, the birth that they have had. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Are you an overcomer or a succumber? The first thing I'd like us to see this morning is a description of the battle. You know, if somebody is an overcomer, all right, there's somebody who wins in the face of obstacles. It's someone who is a victor, someone who has conquered something, someone who has prevailed over something. And it says there in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. All right, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Notice the word overcome, overcometh. All right, there's a description here. It's using the word overcome. Why? Because there's a struggle. There's a battle. All right, it's not just a life of ease, but the Christian life is a battle that we are in. And so first of all, I'd like us to look at a description of this battle that we are in. The Bible labels Christians here in 1 John chapter 4 and 5, those that are born of God, as people that overcome. All right, and there is a battle of life. And are you an overcomer? Or are you one that has succumbed to the world in which we live? First, I see here a doctrinal battle. Notice in 1 John chapter 4, it says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You know, there is a doctrinal battle. Why is there a doctrinal battle? Here we see a doctrinal battle over the person of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, this is extremely important. You know, why does the devil not want people to know and not want people to actually believe who Jesus Christ truly is? You know, it says, well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to answer that question. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse number 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. All right, the devil wants people to be blinded to who Jesus Christ truly is. Jesus Christ manifested the Father. And the devil does not want people to have a true understanding of who God is. It says in verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Well, who was the topic of the Apostle Paul's message? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is who he wanted people to know. was Jesus Christ. And there is a doctrinal battle over who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible talks about the spirit of Antichrist. All right, Antichrist. You know, you think of the word anti in the place of, instead of. You know, I think of, you know, I went on a couple of websites today, or actually I even did a Google and then I looked at, but it's, what does the vicar of Christ mean? Well, who in the modern day is labeled as the vicar of Christ? The Pope. All right, and on, you know, CatholicCulture.org, it says the Pope, visible head of the church on earth, acting for and in the place of Christ. Then Catholic.com said, vicar, a title of the Pope employing his supreme and universal primacy, both of honor and of jurisdiction over the church of Christ. You know, the spirit of Antichrist, it's not just the, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons. Yes, there are all those out there coming up with a false understanding of who Jesus Christ is. But there is a very broad spirit of Antichrist as well that has permeated our culture in this false spirit that the Catholic Church is promoting. When it says that the Pope is the one that's in charge of the church, when the Pope is the one that is assuming responsibilities that belong to Jesus Christ alone. There's a spirit of Antichrist. There's a doctrinal battle over who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And it's something that we need to be aware of. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, we have a false spirit out there that is promoting a false view of Christ. You know, you think of people have, you know, these Christian, it's not Christian, but Christian rock concerts. And we're going to get people in there. We're going to get people to be saved. I mean, we're going to get people to accept Christ. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, they are promoting a false view of Jesus Christ. All right, Jesus Christ is not in favor of rock concerts. Rock concerts do not give a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is. In John chapter 12, as the Apostle John writes of who Christ is, and he refers back to Hosea, and it says in John chapter 12, Jesus is identified with the one in Isaiah chapter 6. Who had said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Notice what it says there of John chapter 12, verse number 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. You know, when did Isaiah see his glory? Well, Isaiah chapter 6, holy, holy, holy. You know, are these rock concerts promoting the holiness of God? No, they're giving a false Christ. They're promoting a false image of God. And that is the battle that we are involved in, is who is Christ? And the world wants to promote, the devil wants to promote a false view of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if he can get people to believe in a false Christ, they are what? They are not believing in the true Christ, and they will not have real salvation. So there is a doctrinal battle that is involved here. But there also is a personal battle. Notice what it says here in 1 John chapter 5. It says in verse number 4, it says, for whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh what? The world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, the Bible says here there is a struggle. There is a battle with the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Notice that word overcometh is used again. There's a struggle. There's a fight. There is a conflict that the believer is involved in with the world. All right, what's the world? Well, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, verses that are familiar with us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, or if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, we heard a sermon on that just recently here Sunday evening, preached by Pastor Luke. The world. The Bible says a believer is one who overcomes the world, but it's by virtue of the fact that we overcome the world, it shows that there's what? There is a conflict with the world. All right, there is a battle that takes place with the world. The world is seeking to draw us away from what? The love of God. You know, what's the love of God? Well, it says there in 1 John chapter 5, for this is, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. What did 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 say? It said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, the world is seeking to draw people into a lifestyle of disobedience against God. It involves the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we need to understand this morning that is the battle that we are in with the world. It's seeking to draw us away from a life of obedience to God's command. And you know, it started way back in the Garden of Eden with Eve. You know, the devil sought to draw Eve away from obedience to God's command. And he used the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You know, she saw the fruit. She saw that it was what? It was good for food. The pride of life, that it was what? Desired to make one wise. And what did she do? She partook of the fruit and she ate. You know, there's nothing new, so to speak, under the sun. The devil is still in the same business. You know, this world is a highly organized system of rebellion against God. And that is the battle that we are in as believers. You know, it says in verse number 3. Notice here the contest here that we are to be involved in. Verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, all right, encourage you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now maybe all of us need to just stop right there. Here's Jude writing to believers, encouraging them to what? Earnestly contend for the faith. You know, this morning, are you earnestly contending for the faith? Where are you, young person? Are you earnestly contending for the faith, or are you trying to push the border? Old person, young person, whatever age you are, middle age, are you earnestly contending for the faith? And notice what it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the two areas there. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, so there's a doctrinal battle. There is a what? It really has to go along right with the personal battle. Turning the grace of our God into what? Lasciviousness. Taking the grace of God and turning it into something opposite of what it is. Teaching that, oh, hey, the grace of God. You can get involved in whatever kind of sin you want and you're okay. God's gracious. Well, what does the Bible say that the grace of God teaches us? You know, Titus chapter 2. And these are familiar verses, but a good reminder to us this morning. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Notice that the grace of God that what? That bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You know, what is that all about? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, we have a world, you know, a whole system of Christianity today that says bring the world into the church so you can reach the world. You know, do all these fleshly things so you can reach people, so you can get them at their level. What's the problem with that? That has nothing to do with God's grace. Because God's grace delivers us from the life that we're in. God's grace sets us free from that sin. And the Bible says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. We should live under control. We should live righteously. We should live godly in this present world. You know, have you subtly bought into the grace that is being promoted today? Or do you have a biblical view of grace that sets us free from this life of sin? That unmerited favor of God in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from our sin. You know, sometimes we need just to step back and think about the things that this world is, you know, that churches are doing today and say, is that of God or is that of the world? Is this promoting God's grace or is this promoting the world's view of grace? So we see real salvation promotes the real grace of God. We are to be earnestly contending for that faith. There is a battle that we are in. There's a doctrinal battle. There is a personal battle. A world that is seeking to draw us into a lifestyle that is contradicting the very heart that God has for us to live godly, to live a separated life that would bring honor and glory to His name. So a description of the battle that we are in. But then let's look nextly at the description of the victory. 1 John chapter 4, in verse number 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." So here are these false spirits, here are these false prophets that are promoting a false Christ. But what does it say? It says, ye have what? Ye have overcome them. All right, they had overcome these false doctrines. They had overcome the false things that were being promoted by these false spirits, by these false prophets. And ultimately, who's behind them? Well, it's the devil. But why? It says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right, a description of the victory, we have the source of power. The source of power is God. And the reason we overcome is not because of ourselves, but it is because God that dwells within us if we are saved. Notice what it says in 1 John chapter 2, kind of right along the same lines. 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 through 27. It says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." All right, so here people trying deceiving them. This is verse 27. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." You know, if you are saved today, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you. And He is the one. He is our source of power. He is the source of truth through the Word of God that confirms in our hearts that this is truth. You know, this morning, you know, the key is to what? To be connected to that source of power. You know, think of trying to vacuum. You know, go get one of the church vacuum cleaners. And you're just sitting there pushing it around. Maybe somebody walks by you and you're just pushing that around. You know, maybe you go, maybe you're signed up for church cleaning and you do the whole thing. And you do all this effort. But if the vacuum cleaner isn't plugged in, what's going to happen? You know, nothing. All right, you're not going to do any good. I mean, you might stir up the fibers in the carpet just a little bit. And it might look a little bit like you did something, but you're not going to accomplish anything because you're not what? You're not connected to the source of power. You know, think of a car without an engine. You can hop in that car and you can even look like you're going somewhere for a little bit as long as the car is at the top of a hill. Okay, or if it's in the middle of a hill. You know, maybe you go in reverse depending on what direction the hill's going. And it can look maybe like you're going somewhere for a little bit, but if you don't have a source of power, you're ultimately, when you hit an obstacle in life, you're going to what? You could be in that car, you could be coasting down the hill, but you're going to hit an obstacle. There's a tree, maybe you're headed through a woods, you get off the road, and what's going to happen? You're going to stop. You know, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to hit the bottom of the hill, and you might go up a little bit. And eventually you're going to coast right back to the bottom. Why? Because you do not have a source of power. And there is a battle for the hearts and souls of men. And you know what? If you aren't connected to the source of power, if the Holy Spirit is not within you, you are not going to overcome in the world, in the day in which we live. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And when we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. All right, and He is the one that makes the difference in our lives. So we must understand the source of power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" If you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is within you. And I like what it says in John chapter 16. The words that Christ spoke to His disciples, John 16 and verse number 33. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Notice the conflict. If you're a believer and you're in this world, there is going to be conflict. The Bible says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's the nature of being a believer. You know, if they hated Me, they're going to what? They're going to hate you. So it's in the world, ye shall have tribulation. You know, if there is no conflict with the world in your life, there's a problem there. Because the Bible says, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. But then notice what it says, "But be of good cheer." You know, we're in conflict with the world. There's going to be conflict. Don't be surprised by it. The Bible says there is a response that we ought to have in face of the conflict that we are in. The Bible says, be of good cheer. Don't get discouraged. Don't get downcast. Don't think, boy, what's going to happen? The Bible says, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. We have victory in Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 7 The Apostle Paul felt the struggle. He felt the turmoil that was within him. And he said, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is victory in Christ Jesus. You know, we don't have to succumb to the things of this world. You know, there may be obviously there are times in our lives where we give in. But ultimately, a believer is one who is going to have victory over the world, and it's only because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. It's only the grace of God supernaturally working within us. It's nothing of ourselves, but it's what God has done through us. So a description of the victory, we must understand the source of power. But secondly, we must understand the accessing of this power. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. You know, somebody can have that car. Maybe they decide, well, I'm going to get an engine put in that car. So they get the engine put in the car, and they turn on the key, and nothing happens. You know, eventually maybe they even run down their battery. Well, there's something else they need, right? They got to have some gasoline in that car, don't they? Otherwise, they're not going anywhere. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, the first step in that process is what? Salvation. It says, verse number 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, when somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they truly understand who Jesus Christ is and they receive Him into their lives, they have received the One who has overcome the world. And that is the beginning of a life of overcoming. You know, but as we're in daily struggles, we're in daily conflicts. And we must be reminded, just as we had victory by faith in salvation, it's a daily walk of faith that we are in. And those daily battles that we face, unless we decide to trust God, we're going to succumb to some of those individual battles. It says in, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, you know, great examples of people who are overcomers. You think of Moses. You know, Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you think of Moses. Was Moses a perfect man? No. Moses had times, maybe individual battles that he faced. But ultimately he was what? He was one who overcame the world. And you know, what was it by? It was by faith. He saw him who was invisible. You know, if we're living for the things that are seen, you know, if you're making your decision based upon so-and-so over there and what they're doing, you're not living by faith. Because Moses lived by faith. He lived by him, by seeing him who is invisible. We walk by faith, not by sight. So the accessing of this power is by faith. You know, what's faith? Well, you know, just as I remember, you know, a long time ago, I don't know, it was junior church, whatever, we learned a simple definition of faith, believing God will do what he says and acting upon it. You know, you understand what God is true, you believe it, and if you truly believe it, what are you going to do? You're going to act upon it. You're going to follow it. That's the faith that overcomes the world. But thirdly, I'd like us to see a description of the ones in the battle. If we go back to 1 John chapter 4. Now we have a description of the victors. They're the ones that have overcome. They're the ones that are born of God. It says, verse number 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. All right, so the overcomers, they're described by who they listen to. You know, it says here, he that knoweth God heareth us. All right, the overcomers were the ones that were listening to sound biblical preaching and teaching. They were the ones that were listening to the true messengers of God. They were not the ones that succumbed to the false teaching and the false ideas of who Christ was. All right, so the description of the overcomers, part of that goes along with who they listened to. You know, there's a couple old sayings, and you've probably heard them before, but, you know, one is, a man is known by the company he keeps. You know, it goes right along with it. This, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You can sometimes just stop in life. Look around you. Who are the company that you keep? That can tell a lot about you. You know, there's the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. You know, it's getting to be, pretty soon it's going to be fall. Maybe we don't want to talk about it yet. But, you know, pretty soon you're going to see what? Flocks of geese. Or you start to see the blackbirds all congregating together. You know, birds of a feather, what? They flock together. You know, it's a biblical principle here. You know, who you listen to, who you're around, tells a lot about whether you are an overcomer or you are a succumber. Who are you listening to? Who are you following in life? Does it reveal a deep spiritual need in your life that God is attempting to get your attention on? You know, it's about who they listen to. Who listens to them? Your reception of Bible teaching and preaching. Also, we see the manifesting of the love of God. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, if you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ was one that what? He loved. He sacrificed. He gave of himself. You know, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples when ye have what? Love one toward another. If you love one another as I have loved you, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. There is a demonstration, an overcomer demonstrates that by demonstrating the love of Christ that has been shown to him to others. And notice how, then notice in 1 John chapter 5, it says, verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You know, isn't that interesting? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. You know, what's the most important command in all the Bible? To love God. You know, and then the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Here it says, you know, you want to know if you love others? Well, how much do you love God? Now, in your own heart, some people can be deceived. I mean, if you're treating your brother a certain way and you say you love God, well, that doesn't add up. There is a unity in that love that is going to demonstrate itself in the way that you act. But if you are an overcomer, see, all these things go together. Jesus Christ loved his Father. And so what did he do? He sought in all his ways to what? To please him. You know, if we truly love God, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be loving Christ. We're going to be following his example of loving the Father. And so all these different things go right together. And if you read the book of 1 John, it gives this unity of truth. It also describes the fellowship. You know, the life of one is truly having fellowship with God. So there is a description. You know, this morning, what description best fits your life? Is it one of an overcomer? Or is it one who is a succumber? You know, the good news is this morning is that there is victory. You know, that victory is because of the fact that when we're saved, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I mean, what an encouraging thing this morning that we have the greatest power that we could ever want available to us. You know, there are so many world conflicts today. You know, and every nation would want the most powerful weapon in the world so that they can defeat the enemy that they are facing. You know, and today we have, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil can do whatever he wants to do to try and get you to succumb. But guess what? The power that is within you, if you are a Christian, is far greater than any attack that the devil could level against you. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, we find the armor of God that we're supposed to put on. You know, we shouldn't just go out into the battle unarmed. God's given us that armor. But you know what? Ultimately, there is something within it. There's the Holy Spirit of God within us that gives us the enablement to have that victory. We don't have to get discouraged. We don't have to give up. We don't have to feel like we're losing. You know, sometimes in a battle, it might look like one side is losing temporarily. But that doesn't mean that that's ultimately what's going to happen in the end. The Bible says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, what's your viewpoint of the battle this morning? You understand the battle that we're in, the doctrinal battle, the battle against in our personal lives. We need to be aware of it. There is an organized attack of the devil against us. You know, when you read Revelation, and it talks so much about overcoming, and ultimately Jesus Christ is our example of being an overcomer. And it says in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You know, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, it's faith that overcomes the world. And who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, who are you looking unto? Are you in the battle? Do you need to be reminded that we are to earnestly contend for the faith? We shouldn't be sitting on the sidelines. You know, just because you're not a pastor, just because maybe you're not a deacon, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be in the battle for truth. And if you're saved this morning, you are an overcomer. And you need to access that power that is within you by faith and see the victory that can be won. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just are thankful for your grace and mercy that has been displayed in our lives. Lord, for rescuing us from a life of sin. And Lord, that if we're saved this morning, the power of your Spirit, the presence of your Spirit is within us. Lord, how thankful we are that our Lord and Savior conquered sin and conquered death, and that he overcame. And Lord, that through his power, we can overcome. And Lord, each individual battle that we face, Lord, with your power, we can win. Lord, it's so easy to get off track in the day and age in which we live when there's sin and sensuality all about us. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us not to get discouraged or to give up, but to remember that you have overcome the world. And Lord, I pray today for those that maybe have been trying to live a life that, Lord, they're missing the source of that life. And Lord, that in simple faith, they would turn to Christ today as the one that can give them the victory. With this morning, and maybe with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you just need to examine your own heart. You know, maybe as a believer, you've been getting discouraged. Maybe you haven't, you know, followed the command of Christ, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Instead of looking to Christ as the victor, you've been looking at the battles in front of you and getting discouraged. And maybe today you just need to step out in faith and trust Christ, realizing that he is the victor. And in him, you are a victor as well. Maybe right now, just in this time of quiet, you need to just do some business with the Lord. And confess it and look to him for that victory. Maybe you just haven't been involved in the battle. You need to start earnestly contending. You know, maybe this morning, as you look at your life, you realize, you know what? I need that source of power. I need to be saved. You know, if God is speaking to your heart in that way this morning, encourage you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one that can give you that power to be an overcomer. It's not your efforts. It's not you trying to be something. It's what Christ can accomplish in you. Lord, we just pray that you would be honored and glorified. Use your word, Lord, in some way to encourage our hearts to live for you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.